Well, have you ever had a relationship that needed to be restored? A relationship that needed restoration? Sometimes those moments are very scary, aren't they? Because there's always that lingering question of, but can I do it? But can I fix this relationship with how broken it now appears to be? Well, hey, I'm Mark, and this is your daily Cornerstone Connection. Well, in today's reading, Paul gives us some very practical advice as we aim for restoration. But it reminded me of a time that I needed restoration. I was in elementary school, so I was a little bit young, but I think I was in elementary. I might have been in middle school. It's hard to say. But I had a friend, and so growing up, up until I hit my later middle school, high school years, he was a good friend of mine. He lived close by, and then he moved a little further away from my house in San Jose. But his name is Jason. And Jason was cool. We would go over there. He had all these toy guns that we would play with. I know, probably not cool to say that now, right? In 2022. But we did. We shot imaginary creatures. It was fine. And I remember hanging out with Jason. And Jason had this big collection of action figures. Okay, they're not dolls, by the way. They're action figures. And yes, they are different. Well, he had these action figures. My favorite was Superman, but we'd play. Anyway, I digress. We're riding down towards Jason's house, so we're on our bikes, and he's talking to me and stuff, and I'm biking right along with Jason. Well, there's a parked car. It parked a little further out in the street where Jason is riding. So Jason goes and he rides his bike into this parked car. He falls forward off of his handlebars, and he ends up falling on the backside of this car. And you know, I wish that in, you know, whatever I was, 11, 12, 13 year old mind, I was more mature than I was in that moment. But I was trying, you guys, I was trying so hard not to laugh. I was like, you know, I was like, and he's like, are you laughing at me? And I was like, no, man, no. You know, I was trying to like hold it together. And I couldn't do it. Well, he was pretty angry, and the rest of the bike ride was pretty awkward. But I remember wanting to go back to him afterwards, and I was just like, man, I'm really sorry. You know, I did laugh, and I'm really sorry. And I said that in much less eloquent words, believe it or not, as an 11, 12 year old. But eventually, Jason and I were okay. We were friends, and our friendship was able to survive him running into a parked car. But I think about him. I don't know where he is anymore, but I think about him from time to time, and certainly say a prayer for him. But that was funny. But it needed to be restored. Now, maybe you're thinking of situations much more serious than your friend running their bike into a parked car, right? Well, this is what Paul says about restoration. And of course, we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 9. It says, for we are glad when we are weak and you are strong. Your restoration is what we pray for. Your restoration is what we pray for. For this reason, I write these things while I am away from you, so that when I come, I may not have to be severe in my use of authority that the Lord has given me for building up and not for tearing down. Isn't that always the goal? We want to build up. You know, I certainly get a little bit timid every time I have to correct a child or something like that. You know, maybe you've had that where you had to correct your kids kind of sternly. And what we want to do is we want to build them up. Our intention is never to tear them down. And yet there's always that fear, you know, that we wrestle with. And now he gives some very practical things that might be interesting for us to think about. He says, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. So he gives us very, you know, four very practical things. What's he say here? He says, aim, comfort, agree, and live, or peace, right? Live in peace. Interesting that it says in all of our things, as we think about restoration, it's Paul says to aim for the bullseye, to aim for restoration. Now you might be hearing this thinking, well, Mark, duh, what else are you gonna aim for? And yet, how many times when we go and talk to somebody after we've been hurt, after a relationship has been severed, and we're aiming to be proven right? Right? We're aiming to be passive aggressive, right? We're aiming for the other person to know just how wrong they really are. And yet Paul says here to aim for restoration. What do you need to say? How do you need to say it? Not to be proven right, not to really dig it in, right? Dig in your point to this other person, but what do you need to say and how do you need to act to achieve restoration? aim for restoration. I think that's huge. That might guide some of our actions. And then it says to comfort one another, right? To speak tenderly, to be a comforter. It can be very difficult when a relationship is severed, right? And you see the other person, perhaps they're upset, perhaps they're suffering in some way. It doesn't excuse perhaps what they've done. And yet, Paul says, take the opportunity to comfort them, to speak tenderly to them. And then it says to agree with one another. So when you have someone, you've had this conflict, right? And you need some restoration, how do you agree? Right? We just talked about aiming for restoration, not trying to twist their arm. Well, I think what Paul would agree with here is that there are certain things, certain key foundational things that you can agree with someone, even if you're at odds with them. If the person's a believer, you can agree that God has a plan and a will, that God's desire is for us to live in community together. Well, hey, I hope maybe as you read through this chapter, you might find some practical tips that might help you as you navigate the world of relationships that we live in. Well, hey, thanks so much for watching, and I hope you have a blessed week.